Not quite yet, but we are delighted to welcome Kenny Johnson back to Many Rivers. He has spoken here. He has spoken here many times before. He has generated enthusiasm here many times before. And I see that we're starting off with that tonight.
What you putting this tea, man?
So he's going to talk to us about a subject dear to his heart.
What's that?
Patience and the silent mind, or whatever he cares to discuss here and whatever arises to talk about. So welcome, Kenny.
Good to see everybody. What brings you out tonight? Some people I've seen, some people haven't seen, but I, what comes up is like, what brings you out tonight? Why are you here?
the last hustle.
What's your last hustle?
I'm still hustling.
That's right. But what was that, you know, the title of the book called Last Hustle, and it was based upon, I had one more hustle up my sleeve. And that was the big hustle. That hustle was going to either put me in prison the rest of my life or get me killed or whatever the rest of my life, or I was going to find God. So we always have that. We all got that one big hustle that, boom, we got to give up in order to step into consciousness. You know. So I would say, it seems like everybody here has had a degree of awakening. So what was that last hustle that you gave up? You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mine was, I was going to write some bad checks. God, it was a little group like this, about this many people, and Gangaji was sitting like this. And I said, well, Gangaji, you can say whatever you want to say, but I got one more hustle that I'm going to do when I get out of penitentiary. But after listening to her for about 5 or 10 minutes, the hustle was gone, and all I had left was this love in my heart. And that was enough. So that was that last hustle I had to give up in order to step into this, into a new life. A new body, a new way of seeing, a new way of being. So I'll ask you, what's your last hustle if you haven't given up? Or what was your last hustle? It's always good to just go back to remember, you know, just where you came from. At least we forget and get the big head. And so every now and then I stop, and I tell my story so regularly about prison, so I always have to go back, so I'm always grateful in a sense to be able to be here and have this conversation, because I know that the options, the alternatives, probably same for you, the option, you know, wasn't a pretty scene compared to where we are now. I'm just grateful that somebody decided to come to prison and visit me. And so that's what I do now. I don't do it, but I have volunteers go to prison and visit other men and share this truth. So maybe they give up their last hustle. You know, once you have the awakening, you can't keep it. You got to pass it on. You got to give it away. You got to share it.
You've asked a couple of questions. One is what brought you here, and I get an email from this bookstore about speakers. Mm-hmm. And it mentioned a practice of patience. And so that you evidently were experiencing a demand, a call for patience, even in transformation or in change. So, so that word hooked me.
Okay.
And I was interested to learn. And I guess I'm always so interested in what helps to wake us up. And so I was curious.
What aided you in waking up?
So many things. I can't point to one thing.
Right.
There was not a moment.
Right.
My life with my child, my life with my husband, walks in nature, music. I mean, it's.
You mentioned the word patience. So that has a lot, I would say, there's a charge in that word for you. For me, I thought about that. I said, what made me pick that title? What made me say that? And apparently somewhere I was in need of patience myself. And as one who was out in the streets, I didn't have patience for things, you know. That's why I was a criminal. I wanted to get it fast. I didn't want to wait a whole week for a check, you know, when I could write 10 of them that day, you know. So there was just impatience. Yeah. Impatientness? Is that a word? I just made it up. That's a word now. But a night is a word. God, make stuff up. It's our language. We can do what we want to do with it, huh? Okay.
That's right.
Oh, man. And so now, wow, you know, now that you mention that word patient, I'm going to share something with you. I went to the doctor yesterday, and they said, she said, you know, I went for one problem. She said, well, that ain't the problem. She said, my concern is that you got high blood pressure. I said, oh, man, I've been having that for some years. She said, yes, you know, it's a silent killer. I said, yeah, you know. She said, well, I'm giving some medication. I said, well, no. I said, let's hold up here. Let's just don't rush to judgment, you know. Let me see if I can figure out like what it is that I can do holistically to shift this. Because apparently, I said, correct me, doc. I said, the reason I got high blood pressure is because the way I've been thinking and living is my lifestyle. Am I right? Yeah, I said, she said, yes. I said, you're going to give me a pill. It's just going to lower it biologically. But is that going to solve the psychological problem that got me here? She said, well, no. I said, okay, then. I hold off on the pill for a month. Let's make a deal on that. And so I woke this morning. I said, now I got to be patient with myself and disciplined with myself. Whereas I have to drink more water. Exercise more, get off the sugar, let go of the sauce. Those things I know, eat more, you know, green vegetables. I said, I can turn this around. The body will immediately, you know. And I said, what it is? I said, I have been neglecting my body by not putting my attention on my body. So now, like last night, I laid there and I was watching myself just breathe, just watching breath go in, putting the breath in my body. Like, now, I'm having to have patience with the breath, you know, trying to find the breath and stay with the breath. So I'm really developing patience with myself now and with my lack of not being patient. Because if you got that much blood running through you, then you mean you're really impatient with a lot of things, you know. That's where I'm looking at. Like you just. So now I'm having to slow down and become conscious and be really patient with this impatient guy. And it's kind of scary to realize that, you know, high blood pressure is a silent killer. So it's like, man, you know. So now you got to really, you know, I'm bringing all my awareness to my body now, and to the food, and to how I'm thinking, and who am I hanging out with, you know, because all those things contributed to this state of mind. You know, and all the addictions I had, you know. So I was smoking cigarettes, I was smoking weed, I was doing all those things, I was drinking alcohol like a fish. So all those things led to this overly large heart and a damaged heart in a sense. and 2 minutes having this high blood pressure. So I'm having to really be patient, you know, with myself and be kind to myself and be gentle with myself. You know, I'm 62 years old, so, you know, I mean, I get away with stuff when I was 30 and 20, but now you're in 60, you know, the window getting so narrow, man. I want 20 more years here doing something, at least waiting on her. You know, I'm where I'm at, daughter, I'm not in this four. I'm number four. There's a personal joke. She's this is her boyfriend. That's her boyfriend. That's her boyfriend. So I'm in line. So I can lower my blood pressure so I can
chill out.
Chill out. Yeah.
Make it to your turn.
So I can make it to my turn. You don't mind this. Yeah. Okay.
It's all the time.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I believe on the website you also alluded to patience in the silent mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you expound upon that?
Well, you know, silence. You know, when you've really been silent, how long can you just really hang there? You know, you want to jump out? You want to do this here? You know, you just. It's just even in the meditation, I'm sure y'all should meditate. Okay, we've been here, we've been quiet now 1 minute. Okay, you need to say something, you know. I mean, you know, yeah, I'm tired of being silent here, you know. I mean, my mind is doing that, I don't feel that good. You know, being patient with this, with silence. And being patient, you know, and sometimes I'll stop and I'll just like, okay. And being patient with dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. You know, like, okay, well, how far can I drop? Okay, I dropped deep enough. I'm really relaxed now. I'm stressed deep enough. And gonna, you know, so just being patient with that. How long can you just sit and just be patient with that? Ramana Maharshi sat there and the rats and bugs started eating him up. You know? I saw some young kid, I forgot his name, some guru, young kid. He was sitting there up under a tree, and he'd say his body caught on fire and all kind of stuff. He was being patient. So that's how patient can you be with that process of being still? You know, so what's coming to me, how patient can I be with this guy that still want to, you know, do all those things that got me in the situation I am physically. And today I was hitting some tennis balls. I said, well, I hit the ball harder. I get some of my rage and anger out. I've been pent up anger, you know. So I'm just really paying attention and trying to start putting my focus on my body and being patient with the process of healing. It's going to take a while. I ain't going to turn around in a week. I would love to. But we're in this place of time and space, so it's going to take time, so we have to be patient. Which is very difficult in a world that says, go shopping, go do this here, you know, bam, bam, get out of the way, you know. It's just, you know. So when we get out and get in our cars, you can find some headlights, drive, push this, you know, to get out of the way, because they got to hurry up and get home and go to sleep. Yeah, so you get up and rush to work tomorrow, then you know, rush back, you know, rush to lunch and rush in. And how can we be patient with our financial situation? You know, how can we be patient, you know, with that? Can we sit and just watch that, you know, turn itself around? Because the truth is, we're not doing anything. You know, once we actually speak from the Advaita Vedanta perspective, there's nobody doing anything. There is no doer. So if that's the case, then there's nothing we can do but just sit and wait and watch. Yes.
Is there patience with the last hustle?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm trying to quit smoking. I hustle and hustle and hustle and hustle.
Yeah, try to.
I can come up with 10 different. I don't do it.
Okay.
I keep trying and I don't do it. should I be patient with myself? Because part of me does have that conflict inside
okay,
of
okay.
me.
I'm going to share something with you. 2 months ago, I smoked my last cigarette. Up until then, I quit smoking for 12 years. All of a sudden, I got moving to get into a relationship, and I started reaching out for cigarettes, something to help me deal with, yeah. you know, not wanting to look at my woundedness. You know, when you're in a relationship, you know, you got the mirror right there. It's your partner. You're like, okay, man, you can't get away from this mirror. And so I started trying to find cigarettes and other things, you know, to not see my stuff. And so I remember something a Zen teacher told us in federal prison. I said, man, I smoke cigarettes. You know, this is not good for a spiritual person. So what should I do? So he had the long robes and everything, looking all over the shaved head, so I know he's going to say something deep and profound.
Quit.
No, it's something even worse than that. He says, when you smoke, really smoke.
Yeah, really smoke, yeah.
He said, when you smoke, get your cigarette, go somewhere, sit down. And so, in the Bay Area, I think there's damn near 500 spots where I would stop, sit down, get my cigarette, you know, do the whole Japanese tea ceremony, Buddhist tea ceremony. I actually did a ceremony. Sit here, I can drive by places and say, oh, I remember those. I smoked about 50 cigarettes in that spot over there. Oh, I remember that little tree. Oh, man, that's a good time smoking those cigarettes over there. You know?
Yeah. And so that's been blocking.
Right. So then what else came up? My partner, she didn't like smelling my breath. And I wanted to get close to women. And you can't walk with the cigarette smoke leading you, you know, like, whoa, man, I ain't trying to. So you're taking mints and you're washing your face and sandalwood all, and you know, you smell like, oh, man, so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't know, you don't. So. And it doesn't do anything, then it's coming out this, your pores and everything, and you even look like a cigarette.
Well, that's going
a little
far.
but you know, I even had a cigarette look, you know? No, I can make it recognize cigarette smokers. We all, hey, you know, they just had that look. Junkies know each other, you know what I'm saying? You got a cigarette? Yeah, I got one. Yeah, come on, man, let's go.
You're not that good at doing it, man. There's not very many people smoking.
I know. And then there's a stigma. I mean, wherever you smoke around here in the Bay Area, people are looking at you. And like, oh, God, he's smoking a cigarette. When a woman walking down the street with a kid and smoke wafting toward them, he's like, oh, man. So this guilt thing was just all everywhere. So I said, I go way out in the woods somewhere and smoke. The deer come by like, whoa, man, what's going on here? You know, I mean, the rabbits, oh, man, you can't even have peace in the woods. Here they come with that stuff. So I actually got to the point where I said, you know what? I'm not getting any younger. I want to have a certain quality of life, and I want to be able to be approachable, people to approach me, and I'm tired of feeling guilty. But that's what came up out of consciously smoking a cigarette. Mm-hmm. The guilt, the fear, the shame, you know, I could never get away from it. So I said, well, I can't hide, I can't get away from this, I need to just put it down. Right now, I would love to go somewhere smoke a cigarette with you.
Well, let's go. Except I don't have any, so we gotta find somebody.
You gotta buy somebody.
We have to use your eyes to find somebody.
Yeah, but you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I had to make a choice. Okay, I can't smoke anymore. I have dreams about smoking cigarettes. I just can't smoke anymore. If I could quit in 12 years, I can do it another 12, you know, whatever. So I said. But I realized that I was under a lot of stress, and I was trying to, this is beautiful. Ooh, we're going somewhere now, y'all. Check this out. When I would go out on the deck in my house at 2 o'clock in the morning or in the afternoon, I was having an intimate relationship with a cigarette. the most intimate relationship I could have was with a cigarette. Here I have a beautiful woman laying up in bed. I can't have an intimate relationship with her because this here is like skunk oil. And I wanted to have an intimate relationship with her. But then, let's go a little deeper. I still was not having an intimate relationship with this. Now the choice is, what intimate relationship do you really want to have? If you want to have one with this, put the cigarette down. Then guess what? More and more love and wisdom and consciousness and blessings and gifts come your way. You're keeping your blessings away from you by having an intimate relationship with something material as opposed to having an intimate relationship with something spiritual, yourself.
Thank you.
That's what I discovered.
I've come to that before, and I guess it's just an excuse, I guess I just have to tough it out. Because I come to some place where suddenly it's like I know all that. And I go for a little while. And then I come to some point where it's like I go on some automatic and I'm watching it, I'm seeing it happen.
Yeah.
It's like I'm watching myself go down the road to hell.
Right.
You know, and not feeling tremendous, not feeling much of anything.
You can't feel anything because what you're doing. This cigarette is numbing you out. You're numbing yourself out. And then what it's doing is taking our life force. It's taking our breath from us.
Yeah.
I thought, I was smoking cigarettes. I said, I'm high. Woo-hoo. I didn't realize it was taking my energy, taking my breath, killing my cells.
The thing is, you can manipulate it. You know, you can manipulate the high.
Yeah.
You can decide to have it or you can decide not to have it.
Right.
I mean, you can make that cigarette be nothing.
We can make it. Right. But now I'm saying, what happens is this: the more you can stay off the cigarette and put your attention here, then all of a sudden, this love that you have been smothering in smoke starts coming forth, and that is so beautiful. Then you don't want to lose it because it's so fragile. It's like a little baby. You know, if you don't put the cigarette, it gets bigger, it just grows and grows and grows. To where you say, I want to have this child in my heart, the baby Jesus. There you go. You know, I want to have this intimate relationship with this beautiful, newfound aspect of myself. That's what I have discovered. So I want to have this relationship out of both of this. The moment I do this, I'm killing this intimate relationship with myself. And this is so precious, so valuable. It takes a minute, but it doesn't take that long. Then your blood pressure, you got to deal with that, because you probably got high blood pressure.
No, I don't.
You're lucky.
No.
But I'm the same, but still, we don't know what...
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't really matter. You got a perfect body, but we want to have this perfect relationship. What we're talking about is this perfect relationship. This beautiful relationship. Yes.
I am so interested in your path, mm-hmm. which I don't know anything about. And I'm hearing you for the first time tonight. So, but I would love for you to tell about your path, and then I would love to learn about, you are evidently speaking now and teaching to incarcerated populations.
I did for 6 years.
Okay.
Now I have a program in San Quentin called This Sacred Space, and I have a gentleman and two beautiful young ladies who go in San Quentin. They alternate. They go and they do the program now. They do the work. So I'm mentoring them. I'm consulting with them. I'm guiding them. I'm supporting them. I did the work. I did 20 years in there. Then I just 20 years inside the prison, then did another 6 going back in. So I was talking to a young lady today. She says, "You're not going back in?" I said, "Wait a minute. I mean, I'm tired. I mean, I've done my time. I mean, can I get a break?" But I know she didn't mean it like that. But you know, because she, you've been in so great. But really, I have people in that have the same degree of awakening and consciousness, so they're doing the work. That's all that matters. But I got started in prison. I got started seeking spiritual food back in 1980-something when I started meditating with guys. And I tell you what, I bought a video. By donations, you know, $5 or more, $10 would be cool, $15, $20, $30, $40, $100 would be cool. This video, this DVD, you know, gives you a good breakdown. And it's the latest one I did at the Science Now Duality Conference. It's a good video, great video, about 30 to 40 minutes long, and it'll give you a complete synopsis of who I am and how I am. So.
May I ask, in following up on that, what have you learned from your own experience and from what you witness? I'm so interested in what wakes people up or what helps to wake them up. Are you?
Yeah. I can answer that real good. Because what I found, my situations, I was tired of suffering.
You were tired of what?
Suffering.
And how long were you in before you had that awakening?
About 20 years. About 20 years.
Off and on? Or?
Well, I did 10 years. The longest I did was 10 years at one time. And the shortest, like 1 hour, you know. But 3 years here, 2 years here, 1 year here, 4 years here. You know, after 20 years, I was quit counting. I said, "Oh, I did this.
Suffering doesn't seem to wake everyone up.
Well, everybody's not ready either. And they maybe have suffered enough. I have a cousin, I have a brother. You would think after all the cocaine he has smoked and all the stuff he went through that he'd be ready and all the stuff, experiences he and I have had, he'd be ready to hear it. He got one more hit. You know, you think there's one more hit. That one more thing gonna do it. It might. He might see him out the back door, but that's his choice. That's what he wants. And it might not be for him in this lifetime. He might have to go and come back, you know. But we're all going to get to heaven. Nobody's going to be left behind. Well, why is that? There's only one. And we're just as aspects of that one. So nothing's going to get lost. I mean, that's just simplifying it. But then when you go out there and see somebody suffering and your heart bleeds for them, then you know, you have compassion for them and you want them to hear, feel, experience what you've experienced, you know. You know, hear the message that you've heard. You know, a young man came up to my house the other day, you know, he was helping with my computer, stuff like that. And he's 26 years old. That's the biggest problem, his girlfriend. You know, she just all on him. He's trying to get away from her. You know, his mother got problems. His sister got problems. And he says, "Man, I just want to wake up." You know, new psychotherapy and everything. He said, "I just want to wake up. I'm tired of this stuff, man." And so I did a process with him. It took about 5 minutes. He says, "Wow, man, you just eased me right on out of that little story of mine into this place." You know, he just like, boom. You know, he just like, shifted. He said, "Man, that was so easy." He just got eased right on out of his... That was hell for him, having a girlfriend instead of telling her a story about him, and he doesn't know how to deal with it. Now he's probably talking to her about waking up. So, you know, it's just... You know, you can't say who's ready, who's not ready, when it's time, when it's not time. It's just I'm just grateful that I did. And I try to share my message with as many people as possible, however I can.
You said you read a lot in prison. Uh-huh. Was there a tremendous availability of books, or resources? Or
yeah, you have interlibrary loan. You have libraries like this. You can go educational, you know, school programs. You have family that send you books and stuff like that. And you have friends you hang out with that tell you about, have you read this book? Because, you know, when you're in a cell, it's locked up sometime like 10 or 12 hours, 24 hours a day, you know, what can you do?
What do most people do?
A number of things. A lot of guys just lay there. Like catatonic, you know, just lay there. Wasting away. And then you got those guys that are trying to sleep it away. They try to sleep their time away. Man. Think about it. We'll sleep until it's time to go home. Then we get out here in this computer age with Facebook, Twitter and MySpace and they go back. Friend sent me an article. He says most people when they get out of prison, they're elated at the thought of going home. They're elated. They come out here and reality hit them. The first thing is go back to drugs. Then drugs take them right back into their life. They think they have recidivated. That's why it's 85%. It's just, I mean, it's so overwhelming to be out here and try to compete and pay your bills and do all this. For people who, like, the whole time they were in prison, they slept. They didn't even try to apply themselves. They didn't even read. So the best thing I could do was just read all I could about enlightened beings.
And after you came out, after this enlightenment,
yeah,
did you then make mistakes that caused you to go back in?
No. You know, it's kind of depends. If you're drinking down, you drive down the highway these days drunk, that's DUI. A lot of times I had to pull over and just walk on home because they had the New Year's speed thing. That's where I parked my car, walking in. I got 3 miles to get home. That's walk home. So those things. But I know what you're getting at. Let me explain that to you. I don't have the psychological energy to get up, put a gun in my waistband, and go rob a bank. I don't have the psychological energy to try to con and convince a woman to sell her body for me. I don't have that energy to keep doing that. I have more energy to see how I can get a DVD done and sell it to people. I have more energy to see how I get a business card made, you know, so I can promote what I'm doing. I got more energy to see how I can get a website done and email people, even though that's difficult. I have energy for that, for the truth. I have a lot of energy to try to quit smoking cigarettes, you know what I'm saying? To work. I have energy now to deal with my high blood pressure. I have a lot of energy. But at one time I had no energy, so I high blood pressure. So what? Start this cocaine. You know, that's I had energy just for that. Not have energy to really to stay conscious and stay present and to do the best that I can, you know, to help myself and help others.
Energy for this new relationship that you started developing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And certain relationships, they give you energy back.
Yeah.
They give you yourself back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes like a self-generating something new, something new is like a baby or a new life.
What's your name?
Yeah, you were saying the same thing. It's the same
Kathy.
Thing you were saying.
Kathy. Yeah. And that's what I was pointing out to her.
And you did the, so beautifully.
The reward or the benefit of stop smoking cigarettes is that pretty soon you're going to feel your true self and you'll feel this love in your heart, and your heart will start cracking open, and you want to nourish that so much to where you say, I want to have this love, as opposed to, and then you'll play with it. So, well, I'm going to see if I can smoke this cigarette and still have the love. Then you see the love says, oh, no, I can't do that. So then you'll know. So it starts, like you say, reaction where it just keep building, it just keeps generating. The more you keep your attention on it.
So before there was a lack of relationship.
No, I had a relationship.
No, it was something real. With it. There was a lack. You said you had that intimate relationship with the cigarette.
Right. I still had a relationship. Yeah. And it was feeding upon itself also. Same thing. It's the same thing.
But there's certain relationships that are dragging you down into that hole.
That's right. It's the same thing. It's perpetuating itself, but it's dragging me down to guilt and shame and fear and self-loathing and hatred and all those things.
And there's the other relationship.
The love, compassion, wisdom, happiness, joy, you know, integrity, you know, patience, you know.
You didn't have any scary feelings, huh?
Scary? What do you mean?
Well, it's a whole different orientation to life when there's no cigarette.
Yeah.
I mean, I have gone through periods where I haven't.
No, right.
And I'm not using an excuse because I do know that I have to get to this place where I just let it happen, because you go through it physically or mentally, and you do come out on the other side, and you do experience that heart thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to do it. I have to quit saying it's scary and do it.
Yeah.
But
you're gonna go through all those emotions. See, what's happening is this intimate relationship. You've created a child.
Yeah.
And this child said, "Hey, feed me." Nurse me. Well, the feed and the nourishment you was giving was cigarettes.
Okay.
So he got this child and said, "Man, give me a cigarette. I want to smoke now. Go get me a cigarette. You know, wake you up in the middle of the night. Go buy some shit. Go bum us. Go remember that cigarette you threw out in the corner? Nothing. Go find that cigarette in the ashtray."
Yep.
Oh, man, I put cigarettes down somewhere and said, "Now I know I put a cigarette down over there somewhere. There it is. About that big." Woo!
You know I'm laughing.
We're addicts, baby. I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I quit smoking a number of years ago, and I really wanted to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
But I quit about 10 times before I really quit.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to be kind of fun to see, because I noticed my complexion was better and I felt different.
Right.
I kind of got into seeing what the changes were when I quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
But then there come a time I get kind of bored with that.
Yeah.
I
want to know. That's right.
After 10 times, what really did it for me, I realized I can't smoke one cigarette.
Right.
It'll lead right back.
Right.
And I knew there would come a time when I'd tell myself, "Oh, you can have this one."
Right.
And I would have to say no to that.
That's right.
And I did that.
Right.
I was able to do that a long time with myself, kind of finding out how I work.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say keep.
I've been grateful.
What she's saying, and they say, keep trying. You're gonna be successful.
Oh, I've been.
You're gonna be successful.
Like
you're
a professional.
You're gonna try every hustle there is.
That's why I said, is there patience with the hustle? And when you brought up the "I'm not the doer" aspect, you know. I suspect I went there often going, "Well, I'm not the doer."
Oh,
so,
hey,
I'm not the doer.
I'm not the doer. Yeah, but you land that coffee on your debit.
I'm not the doer. Okay. That has to be over.
Oh, man. we all going to pass away.
Yeah.
We're all going to die. High blood pressure, cigarettes, just in your sleep, you know, where we all going to pass away. And just, I realized that, so that's an inevitable part. But what quality of life do I want to have between, you know, between birth and death? And I got these last few years on earth, what quality of life do I want to have?
Well, you don't know, and you can't know.
But
you can't know what kind of quality you're going to have, because it's qualitative. It's not, you know.
Well, I the quality of life I have now, as opposed to what I had 2 months ago, I love this better than I did then.
Yeah. But I'm saying you can't know tomorrow what's going to happen to you, so you can't know what your future quality of life
well,
is.
Well, okay, if I keep doing what I'm doing now, I should have a better quality of life.
Yeah, if nobody hits you in the road and knocks you. I mean, I'm just saying you can't really know.
But now, are
but
we being...
you can't. You walk out there,
Do we see somebody trying to squirm out of something like...
What?
You're trying to squirm, like you're trying to wiggle out of something. You're like a snake, baby.
Well, get me, please. I'm here. But this is obviously the reason.
Yeah. But you know, if
I see that, okay.
If I keep not smoking, not doing the sugar, I'm going to have my quality of life is going to improve.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
I see the snake that just squirmed in front
right,
of me.
Right. And if I go down a slippery slope where I'm smoking 1 cigarette, 2 cigarettes, then my quality of life dissipates, gets worse, yeah. But goes according to that plan. So I have decided I want to nurture this love, this very fragile love that's in my heart right now. I want to nurture it. I want to keep, I do everything I can just to keep fanning this flame, whatever I can, however I can, because I want to feel this love. Yes.
So on that, feeding that love, I'm just curious about how you structured or how you incorporate meditation and spiritual practice in your daily life, like how you give yourself the discipline, and what does that look like to keep you on your path?
I live in Sonoma, so there's an ashram called Sonoma Ashram. We have meditation 6:15 in the morning every day, then on weekends 7:30 into 45-minute meditation. So I get up and go over there and meditate. Mm-hmm. That starts my day. If I miss the meditation, then I do my little, I have a little altar, I have a ritual. I do a ritual, I like the thing, I sing praises to my teacher, to guru. And then I might go hit some tennis ball, I might go swimming, or I might call somebody on the phone. Almost everything I do is linked to trying to stay present. If even I go to the bank and I talk to a bank person, oh, I said, man, I was too pissed, I was too angry, I should apologize. It wasn't. Or if I don't want to see somebody, why do I want to see that person? Okay, apparently I feel a guilt. I feel my guilt around not wanting to see that person. What's that about? What's going on? You see what I'm saying? I'm constantly.
Yeah.
One woman said I'm self-absorbed. She says I don't want to be around him. He's too self-absorbed. You know. Well, I said maybe you should be more like me because you're not absorbed at all. You know. But. But I use everything to bring me to this moment. Like I said, even the cigarettes. Okay, I know I'm smoking a cigarette. I noticed it, and then I have to feel the shame and the guilt and the stuff around that. And that keeps you present. So I'm asking you a question. What's your name?
Carol.
Where are you now?
Here.
Where are you really? Where are you now? Where are you now?
Well, I'm conscious of this pain in my neck and this headache, and I kind of deal with this chronic pain, and it's really hard to come to peace with that because it's like patience around that. And I tend to get. When my energy is good, I'm wanting to move in
in certain areas, and I, because of also past things of too much exertion and too much carelessness with my body and other things, I've got this chronic, you know, and it's hard to be with it and be loving and peaceful, and I want it to go away. I want to do everything, and I do things to distract, which probably makes it worse. And it's like saying, just sitting, and can I just sit and be patient with it and listen to it, and what is it trying to tell me?
Just the energy is blocked, and it's trying
it's
to tell.
Blocked. And it's totally
right,
blocked.
Right. And just like my high blood pressure, okay, I have to actually sit and be patient with it and say, what do I need to do to heal you? I know you're not trying to kill me. I know it's just my inattention that has brought this situation. Now, what? I'm bringing my attention here to this problem so I can bring healing to this situation. You may need acupuncture, you know, good love, sex always helps. You know what I'm saying? They even told me that. Says more sex will help you with high blood pressure, Ken. They told me that. I don't know if you agree with that, but you know, that helps too.
Well, I 3.5 months ago got rid of a relationship that was dragging me down, so I'm a free woman now. I'm doing much better.
I'm just saying.
But, still, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you need. You might somebody that's doing the massage.
Yeah,
I don't know. But let that talk to you. Let that tell you what it needs. Put all your attention there. But you see how you're distracting yourself not to feel yourself.
Oh yeah. I'll do anything to just.
Isn't it amazing how
I probably you too. You know, you get to the point and you know how to push through the pain and do everything to try to, so they can keep moving and doing things, and you just kind of go, I'm separating myself from this.
That's right.
I don't want to feel it, and then it only gets worse.
That's right, because not because you don't want to feel.
Don't want to feel.
And because you don't want to be responsible, you don't want to take action to heal yourself.
But so I really resonate with that whole sitting in the patience and listening, and it's my curiosity about structure and just how you move through the day and keep yourself in that alignment.
When I go to meditation, or when I stop and be present, you know, in my altar or whatever, that sets the tone. Because I don't tell where I'm going to meet throughout the day, what's going to come up, where's I'm going to have to be present. Somebody might say, like someone told me today, says, I feel like you're being a burden to me. And I had to feel that. And I said, well, why are they saying that? I said, well, the reason why they're saying it right now is because they're going through a lot. Yesterday they didn't say that, but today they're going through a lot. So I said, so they're pushing. So I felt that. I said, she might be right. Let me feel if there is some part of me that was doing something unconsciously. Let's take that in, you know. So that was an opportunity for me to take something in and feel it, and feel the anger, the run, you know, whatever. Let's take that in. See how that felt. So I would say really pay attention to that and see what you got to do to heal. I just came to an acupuncture's office, right up the street, up the street there. Mm-hmm. Nice little setup. $20 and get acupuncture for an hour and a half, hour. As long as you can stay asleep, you know.
$20.
You know, see that helped you.
$20, that's good.
that helped your cigarette smoking too. It really will.
So yeah, you talked about the mirror of relationship.
Right.
How does that affect what you have here with yourself? The mirror of relationship.
Oh.
Because you can't hide, right?
Well.
How's that affect?
What I discovered here, you know, I never thought I'd be talking about relationship, because I'm probably the last person anybody would ask about relationship. Because I knew I was going to be a serial monogamous, you know, or serial polygamous, whatever you want, how you want to. And so I got into a relationship, got married, that was like pits. Got out, got back into another relationship, pits. And I got to the last, I said, I'm gonna try one more time. Third time's a charm. So I got into a conscious relationship with a woman. She was a tantrika, all that stuff. So we were just really, you know, in love with each other, great sex and everything. Then all of a sudden the sex died down. Then I had to look at her and say, look at me, oh man. for the sex, you know. That was a great distraction. So now it's no longer there. Now I got to, you know, I got to look at this human being. And I saw how I was acting like a little boy, how she was acting like my mother. I said, oh, it was so painful to see that. Because I had this image that I was some grown up, sharp dude. I said, oh man, God, man, I don't know. So she was able to show me all this childishness in me that I hadn't even dealt with. So I went to get therapy to see why, you know, all this, why I was acting what I was acting, the anger and the rage. And so now we have separated. Now I'm in my own apartment. I'm able to see all those things really, really, really clear. And it's like, I'm just like, man. It's kind of, you know, when I look at myself, it kind of hurts because I know I couldn't be available to her. This beautiful woman that had everything going for her, but I couldn't be available because I was so wounded. I was so wounded. I couldn't have an intimate relationship with her. So it hurt me to realize I could have an intimate relationship with a cigarette, but I couldn't have an intimate relationship with another human being. That hurt me so bad. And it still hurts. It's the hardest part, realizing that I didn't have the skills, you know, to stay with it, you know, stay with it, stay with her, stay with it. Mm-hmm. As a man, I danced tango. I used to dance tango. It was my job to grab a woman, hold her close, and to take her around the floor. I had to make sure she don't get stepped on. I got to make sure she's in, you know, I'm hearing the music, it's coming through me, and she's feeling the music, and she's following my lead. It was my job to make sure she had a great time. She really, really, really connected. That whole 2 or 3 minutes of whatever it is going on. The same thing applies in a relationship. As a man, the woman is trusting that you're not going to step on her. Because she's closed, her back, she's totally exposed. She can't see. She's trusting you to stop, move, chill. And if you're not doing no thing, she's not going to want to dance with you anymore. So that's what I'm looking for. And that's what I'm hearing right now. We've only been apart a couple of months, so it's a lot of stuff. That's why I quit smoking, quit all those things, because I said, what is this? What is this? But the being in a relationship is bringing about more love and healing, you know, compassion for myself, and respect for people that are in a relationship. In happy relationships. I didn't want to be in a relationship with her any longer if she was unhappy and I was unhappy. I didn't want that. I would feel the pain of separation and let her be go and be off, be happy, and me experience whatever I need to experience, but as opposed to just being in a relationship because everybody thinks we're a great couple and all this. Or, you know, like we got 2 kids, so we got to stay together. You know? So I find a lot of people don't want to be in a relationship, don't are afraid to get out of a relationship because it's a pain of separation. You Because once you separate, you know, you're separating the energies. Now she says, oh, I'm dating someone. I'm seeing somebody new. I'm like, oh. Then he texted her while we was in the car. And I was like, and I got angry. And I had to go back and apologize to her. I said, I'm so sorry. You can do whatever you want to do. That's your body. That's your mind. You can do whatever you want to do. And I support that. I just saw all this dispossession, ownership, you know. Even if you're married, you don't own the person. All you own is you. If they want to say, give you a kiss, that's their prerogative to give you a kiss. You know, they're not obligated to give you anything for us. So I saw a lot of dysfunction. I come home, where's my food at, woman? She don't even cook that good. Her recipes ran out by 3 days. Her recipe's done. We Whole Foods, you know? So, you know, so it wasn't a lot of recipe repertoire wasn't that long anyway, you know. But that was just my mother's stuff. Like, I come home, mama has some food for us, you know. In prison, you go to the chow hall, you know, a certain time food is there, you know. I said to myself, I said, what in the hell are we going to talk about tonight? What kind of group are we going to have tonight? I said, it's cold. I hope nobody show up. I can go home early and go to bed, turn the heat on, look at TV or something, football's on. I come here, I said, whoa, we got a party tonight. Oh, you never know what many rivers. I mean, you never know. Every time I come here, it's a different group. It's a different energy. Every time. She said she came because of the word patience. She didn't come to see no damn convict. She came to hear about patience. Oh, man. That's why the question was, what brought you out? She said patience brought out. Cigarettes addiction brought you out. Neck pain brought you out. Intimate relationship, I think, brought you out. I don't know. And she always comes. We have a love affair going here. And he brought both his wife and his woman out. I mean, you know, this. He want to show out. He's a stud. I mean, I love it. What brought you out, young man?
Visit my friends here.
And you, what brought you out?
I'm not sure.
Meditate on my own, it's like, okay, Jim, meditate.
Yeah. Right.
So, but when you start meditating, it's just like, oh, there it is. That's cool.
Do you mean in the beginning?
Yeah.
When you start?
Yeah.
I always feel like I could, like, I could leave now, and it was a complete evening. Mm. Even before you start talking, for that exact reason. Mm. Mm. You know, it has to do with, I think, that intimacy that you're talking about. You're really, really comfortable with that silence and with that space that you're sharing with us. Mm. It's a really intimate space. That's my favorite time.
Thank you. It's nice to get a reflection like that. I say that we get reflection from professional meditators, I look at, you know, this guy's been around the block a couple of times, you know? And so to be able to get thank you. I appreciate that. That's what brings you up, Keely?
Well, Susan, you received an email? Oh, no, our friend George mentioned it last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded interesting.
In what way?
The patience. Mm. I need to have patience with myself. I intend to have patience with myself.
Mm. What's your practice?
That's what I'm looking for.
That's right. What if you just stop looking? You don't need to look.
And just be.
And just be here. Yeah. How would that be? How does that feel?
Better.
How often can you do that?
Working.
You can do it whenever you want to. Whenever the urge comes up, just let go. Stop. Be with yourself. Feel yourself. Take a deep breath. Susie, we saw each other last year at Ganguji.
Mm-hmm.
It was intensive.
That one was a weekend.
Mm, okay.
It was at Dominican College.
Yeah.
And you got up and talked a little bit.
Yeah. After the Obama election. That's y'all looking at that DVD the other day. Yeah. So that's when we met. Huh? And what do you do?
What do I do as far as...
Working, taking care of yourself, living.
What do I do?
You're a healer of some type? Massage therapist, you wake up.
It's neurofeedback.
Neurofeedback. Mm-hmm. You put people on a machine.
Calming the mind.
Put them on machines.
Hook them up.
So how would they help me with my high blood pressure? Mm-hmm. I'm trying everything, y'all. I'm trying everything now. I'm on a mission.
Well, I would imagine your meditation would have a profound effect on that.
Right, right.
I would imagine probably some teas, too. And probably some neurotransmitters.
Like what?
Well, because you're just working with wanting to know what... I don't know your diet. I don't know anything about
right.
what you might need. Amino acids. We could talk about it later.
Okay, yeah. Cool. You're local?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. You know, I was thinking about, after a doctor told me about I had this high blood pressure, I started thinking about teachers. You know, remember Artie Shockey had a thing with his face for a while. I think about Amma Cheese, they be rubbing on her shoulders and everything, helping her. And I think about how Ram Dass had a stroke, you know, and stuff like that. And I said, wait, we're human beings, we get in this role as teachers, you know, but how are we taking care of ourselves? You know, we want to be so, you know, just available for people, taking care of people, and you sometimes forget to take care of ourselves. And I said, I got a message now. Am I going to take it and utilize it? Consciousness sends us messages. And if we don't listen, bam, it'll take you out. Because it's totally impersonal. You know, through our dreams, you get messages, whatever. If you don't listen and start and make self correct, it will take you out. Because it doesn't have patience. Okay, I gave you 3 warnings here. You got to come back again as a bug.
I don't know.
You got to try it as a human. You didn't listen. You like smoke cigarettes. Well, I'm going to bring you back as a, I don't know, tobacco or something. I don't know.
tobacco
plant. Tobacco leaf. You all leaving?
We have to go.
Okay.
So your book, is it actually out yet?
No, it's manuscript form.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Thank you very much.
There you go. You're going to enjoy that DVD. I guarantee you're going to enjoy it.
If I don't...
Oh, I'm going to back.
Yeah. Money back guarantee.
I'm going to love it.
Yeah, you're going to love that, man.
I enjoyed meeting you and chatting with you.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you all for your input.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Hey, man, you did some music in here yeah. for the holiday season. People, you know, there you go. Happy holidays.
Is your email address on here?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to give you an idea.
Okay, good.
For your...
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
High blood pressure.
All right, I'll take it.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, brother. I want to say this. It's been good here. I have enjoyed coming to Many Rivers. I love coming to Many Rivers. I never know what to expect, but it's always fun. And I want to say happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
Happy New Year to you.
Mm-hmm.
And may you get whatever you deserve. Oh man. Ah, that's a good one.
Yes, it was. judgmental way to say it, isn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, okay. All right, brother. You got it.
Well, that was the best Kenny we've had, the best draft of Kenny we've had. And we've had some pretty good drafts before. So thank you all for coming out tonight. I want to point out that we have a donation bowl over on the counter, and we encourage you to contribute to it to because we split the proceeds with our speaker to support his work and also use the other half to support the maintenance of this space that he has been coming back to and will continue, I hope, to come back to again
oh, yeah.
in the future. So, yeah. That's right. Anama says sell, sell, sell. Mm-hmm. So buy, buy, buy.
Yeah.
And we encourage you to come here for your holiday shopping. So thank you for coming out tonight, and we really appreciate it. And thank you, Kenny.
Thank you. Yeah.